Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
That's right. It is Green Country Gardener this morning. And if you have a gardening question for Larry, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Adam, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How
good
are
to
you?
See you? Yeah. Oh, golly, Caleb. Good to
Caleb's
see you, guys.
Here. He's, yeah.
What's
he's,
happening in your
he's
yard
up in
today?
Adam, ready to go.
Well, out of recommendation of Gary, I saw last week, he said I need to start turning that compost over in my garden. So all the leaves that I had piled up and shredded into small pieces.
Got them all turned under? Good.
Turning them into the soil and different things like that.
You have oak trees around your place.
I do. So it takes a while for
those. It takes a while for those.
But I got one of those. My grandma got me one of those leaf eaters.
Yeah.
And you put them. You have a weed eater string in it, and it shreds them almost into dust.
Cool.
And so, ideally, it breaks down.
Well, that increases the surface area to volume ratio, so the decomposition process can be accelerated. And in order for that to accelerate, the little fungi and whatever delicti that are in there need a little bit of help sometimes. So you put a little grass clippings in there.
And the other thing.
And you could trim back your monkey grass.
Well, I'll probably wait a couple. Isn't it kind of soon for that?
It's a little early, but monkey grass is real hardy, and that'll give it some more nitrogen. So.
The problem with the monkey grass is if you put the monkey grass in the compost, I feel like it takes forever for that monkey grass to break down.
It's is. It is kind of heavy, but your grass clippings would help, too. It'll all get there. So.
And the other thing I've been doing last weekend is all my fescue had just twigs. It didn't look like there was much stuff in it on top of it. Uh-huh. But as I, blew it all into a pile and raked it, I had a trash can full of twigs and acorns that the squirrels had all put there. And it's amazing. The fescue looked great after it was there. So I'm getting the fescue ready to oversee.
So you're cleaning up after the squirrels.
Exactly. That's what I was.
What a novel
squirrels.
Idea.
I hate those squirrels.
You don't like squirrels?
No.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Once they rip into your house a few times, it gets to you.
We talked to the guys at Overleaf about that. They've got concrete board that'll stop that. But
I talked to Grogan. We've come up with several different ways. And then I put it on there, and then they just find another way to just start tearing through. I had them go through the siding.
Well, perhaps you need to consult Mr. Winchester about that.
I don't know if my neighbors would like that.
That wouldn't work too well.
So that's what I've been doing.
Well, good. So it is a time of year that it's getting very busy.
Yes.
So,
actually, we got a phone call.
All right, put them on.
Went on there. We're going to put them on, and we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
Well, I want to ask about cutting back my roses.
Yes.
I remember that he said the middle of February, but I don't remember how much I can cut them back. Can I cut them back 2/3 of the way, or what?
Yeah, cut them back to, if they're a hybrid tea rose, you don't want to go too far down. But if they're a non-grafted rose, like a knockout or some of the newer ones that are not grafted, then, you can go down really low.
Okay.
But it depends on the health of the stem.
What?
On the health of the stems that are down there.
Oh, I see.
If it's real corky and looks kind of bad, then you probably want to cut that one out altogether. And then let the newer ones come up. Well, you'll have prettier roses that way.
Okay.
So it's kind of a thinning process as well as a cutting back. But a general term, if it's a rose that gets fairly large, then go back to about knee high or so. But if it's one that doesn't get very large, probably about a foot tall or so.
Okay. Well,
and then,
got really tall last summer.
Well, it's probably a knee high rose then.
Okay.
So then you go ahead and you cut it down, and you want to stagger the heights that you cut it. You don't want to cut it straight across.
Okay.
You want some low ones, and you want some high branches, some high cuts on it too. So you get more of a different elevation of flowers, so they're not just all on the top.
Yeah.
And then the branches that are going in towards the middle of the plant, you want to selectively remove those to stimulate it to grow more outwards and open.
Oh.
That helps keep fungus down and so on, and it's healthier for the plant if it's not just really tightly bound inside there. So if it were opened up a lot, it would help the health of the rose as well.
All right.
And give it some bone meal while you're at it.
What? Oh, some bone meal.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or a charge of phosphorus, and that'll generally help it out too. It's time, if you want to put on bone meal, it's about time to do that on your roses. But you could use just a rose fertilizer too. They're getting ready to really bust out. I noticed my Julia Child rose is on the south side of the house, and its buds are just getting ready to pop. And I imagine they're going to open up this week.
Oh, but you're still going to cut it back, huh?
Oh, I did that last week, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling.
All right, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Getting back to the lawns, or we haven't gotten to the lawns yet. We talked a little bit about Caleb's lawn.
Yeah.
Coffee makes my nose run.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, to scalp or not to scalp, that is the question. Scalping is a process of lowering the level of the sod or the grass, and as opposed to dethatching, which goes one step further to get the thatch that's down in there. If you really haven't dethatched in about 3 years and your lawn is really thick and lush and all that, you probably want to do a dethatch. It's a bit different. You take scalping, you take your mower and set it all the way down and just shave it off the top. But when you dethatch, they make blades that you can put on your mower that have little teeth that'll actually get the thatch out. So even after you get done scalping, you get an incredible amount of debris from a dethatch. Yeah. We have a caller?
We do have a caller, and we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today? Hi, good morning.
Put your lawn fertilizer on.
There you go.
And maybe some techniques from an expert that I don't know much about. That's what I want to know.
Okay. We sort of got cut off a little bit, but you're wanting to know the timing of lawn fertilization?
Yes, sir. When's the best time to start?
Oh, they start? Well, it's all reliant on what variety of grass you have. Do you have Bermuda grass, which more likely you do?
Yes, I think that's what it is.
Okay, you don't really need to fertilize that until about the 1st of May.
Up to the 1st of May?
Yeah, you want to start about the 1st of May.
Oh, start about the 1st of May. Does it help if there is moisture after rain before, or do it before rain that you expect? Does that help any?
It does help a whole lot if there's moisture in the ground, number one, and number two, there's rain coming or you have a way to water it after you apply the fertilizer.
That will help.
It'll help a whole lot. Yeah, see,
the best number, a brand or something, because I want some good stuff. I'm tired of playing with it.
Well, you look at the numbers on the bag, and to begin with, you want something with a fairly even ratio in the spring, such as a 13:8:8 or a 10:20:10 or something. That's your first application. And then a month later, you want to put down a high nitrogen type fertilizer, and that could be anything from a 16:8:8 or something with the first number higher than the rest. And then you do those high number applications once a month in June, July, August, and letting August be your last application.
Okay.
So you and then after you fertilize, you want to make sure you water it in real good.
All right, that's kind of what I've been looking for. Appreciate it, Larry.
Okay.
Thank you
for calling.
Okay, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry.
I don't really like to scalp my yard this time of year.
And why's that?
It could get cold still. Mm-hmm. And I did an experiment on my yard one time, and I'm always doing that, where part of it was scalped and part of it was not. And the area that was not scalped had a faster recovery in the spring than the area that was scalped when I scalped it early in the year. It broke dormancy a lot faster. It has that extra layer of insulation on it to help shield it from any cold weather we're going to have. In years previous, we've had extraordinarily cold weather this time of year, as you recall, no doubt.
Yeah, it can get cold this time of year.
Yes. And the weather this week, golly, there's not a lot of verbiage on it, but I see a lot of good numbers on there. So
it's supposed to be 70 by next Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's unseasonably warm.
If you do feel the urge to scalp your yard, number one, sharpen your mower blade. Number two, change the oil in your mower. And number three, if the gasoline has been in your mower tank for this time, you might want to consider getting it out of there and then refreshing it with new gasoline. Because halfway through it, it'll quit. So that's a prerequisite to doing it. And the air filter, too, probably should be to be cleaned or replaced, just to make it breathe and run a little better. It's awful stressful, and something that's been asleep all this time.
I know, wake up
with a dirty filter and cruddy gasoline. And you know, and
I can,
and water in the oil. I mean,
I can remember the days.
That's why they sell more mowers in the spring.
Yeah, I know. I can remember the days it took for. I mean, when you first get the mowing season started, it took forever to get that mower going.
Yeah, well, that's what I do is I drain the tank and run some carburetor cleaner through it, and change the oil, clean out the filters, and usually it'll start on the first pull in the spring, which is nice.
Yeah,
because
you
very quickly lose your enthusiasm for lawn work if it doesn't work.
I think we got a caller on the line, Larry, and let's say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a bunch of leaves that I want to shred, and Caleb was talking about something his grandmother got him that shreds it almost like powder. Can you tell me more about that? Do you have any idea what Caleb was talking about?
Well, I've heard of them before, but this is the first time I've heard of an application being successful with it. It is basically a hopper with a weed eater string in it, and it does a very good job of chopping up the leaves and all that. Makes it real fine. Now, Okay. Personally, what I do is I just put them out in the yard and run over them with the lawnmower back and forth, and then put the bag on the mower and suck them up. And that seems to work rather well also with existing equipment.
I've got about 80 bags of them, and that takes a long time to do that.
So. Yeah, it does. So a shredder of some kind would be a good way. They will decompose if you don't shred them up. It just takes a little bit longer to do so.
Right. Okay. All right.
Thank you. That works rather well. You can look at the local stores. They've got composters and shredders and things like that that will do a good job of that.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
If you have a lot of leaves in your yard, you might consider it because of the little increased difficulty in getting rid of it through the city. Mm-hmm. You might consider getting a shredder. I know I've got one. Mm-hmm. And it works rather well when you're pruning the trees and whatnot. It makes great mulch. On the surface.
Yeah, it does make good mulch.
Other than the machine blowing a gasket on the crankcase gasket, I can use it for a few minutes and I got to turn it off. It works rather well.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially like the what Caleb said, the oak leaf trees. Those are like I said, those take a while to get rid of, I guess.
They do, really. I have water oaks at my house and red maples, mm-hmm. but I inherit a lot of pin oak leaves and things.
Oops.
the fence is a good catcher right now. I have bushel baskets of oak leaves on my beds up front. So.
Oh, my.
I'll probably be tackling that tomorrow.
Yeah. That's your Sunday project?
Yeah, Sunday project, yeah.
Oh, my.
So. Anyway, getting back to your yard, scalp or not to scalp, you definitely, on Bermuda grass, you do want to scalp it. And occasionally you do want to do a complete dethatch. So, and you don't have to dethatch every year, just once every three, just to get rid of all that stuff that's built up. Because I know some of the houses have very very shallow drainage patterns, because we're relatively flat here. Mm-hmm. And it does cause some water to back up, because the ground actually goes up. The elevation of the ground increases as a result of all this thatch that builds up and decomposes. Really good soil down around the Bermuda grass, but it gets a little bit higher and higher and higher over time. So you want to try to control that a little bit if you do have a critical drainage issue with some scalping, or dethatch rather, mm-hmm. or both.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as crabgrass is concerned, I like to start controlling that around St. Patrick's Day. The typical crabgrass control has a lifespan of about 3 months or so. So you want to make sure you have a good dose of that within the soil line when the time comes for the crabgrass to begin sprouting. It's not really going to grow this week, so don't be in a worry about it if with it being warm like it is, things are going to start growing. The crabgrass really won't start growing because the ground temperature is still kind of cool. However, also on the weed part though, the broadleaf weeds will be coming up. So it'll be warm enough for a post-emergent control, such as 2,4-D, Trimec, those other post-emergent weed controls, or you can use some Roundup on it this coming week. The temperature will be warm enough, and I believe the nighttime temperatures are expected to exceed 40 at some point this week.
But about the 30s. Mid to upper 30s.
Okay, well, so that's still not too bad. You should have some good, and be sure to do it in the warm part of the day. Mm-hmm. Take a couple hours off work and tell the boss you're spraying Roundup on your weeds.
Do that about 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it might cost you a half day of vacation.
But okay.
But anyway, so that needs to be done also.
Okay. All right, Larry, we're going to take our first break. And again, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a gardening question for Larry, give us a call. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener and your phone calls after this.
This weather makes one want to get out and plant for the spring. Green Thumb is ready with 5, 7, and 10-gallon trees in stock, including Japanese maples on sale. And at 30% off, pick up flowering bushes like crepe myrtles, azaleas, butterfly bushes, and roses. For cool season gardening, Green Thumb has plenty of seeds for sowing, and now's the time. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, No Water Road, open Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, or by appointment, call 918-333-4091 or online at greenthumbok.com.
Looking for Valentine's sweets and treats for your sweetheart? Visit your neighborhood United Supermarket. Nothing says love better than something sweet from the heart. And we have sweet savings that will tempt the taste buds of your sweetheart. And you may also choose from a wide assortment of roses, fresh cut and potted floral, bouquets, premium Mylar balloons, and more. You'll love these United Supermarket sweet Valentine specials on Russell Stover or Whitman's Candy Filled Hearts, just $8.99. Hershey's Pot of Gold Heart-Shaped Box, a low $7.99. Brock's Conversation Hearts, two for only $5. And don't forget, we offer a complete selection of Valentine's cards, gift bags, and assorted plush animals. Find that perfect gift for your Valentine at United. Celebrating love around the world with sweet savings. Too good to be true. Don't miss the February Valentine savings, only for a limited time and only at United Supermarkets, home of the personal touch.
Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and there's still time to thrill your Valentine with chocolate-covered strawberries from Russell Stover Candies. Delight her with a gift of fresh strawberries hand-dipped in luscious chocolate and packaged in a beautiful red heart box. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's Day gift you can give. Russell Stover has two Tulsa area locations, just east of Highway 169 on 71st and in Utica Square. They have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
Hey, you know, that's good Valentine's music, by the way, that you're playing this morning, Larry.
Ah, Mozart.
Yeah. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry.
Another part of lawns is, shall I fertilize or shall I not fertilize? And as we mentioned to the previous caller, if you have Bermuda grass, it really won't do a lot of good to fertilize it at this point. However, if you have fescue grass, it's open season. You want to go ahead and fertilize that fescue. And if your fescue has been doing kind of punk lately, maybe your soil pH needs to be checked. That can cure a whole lot of problems with fescue grass not doing well. It's just the chemistry of the soil. So check it out if you've got the time. We've got soil test kits at the nursery. You can test it yourself if you want results now. Mm-hmm. Or you can send it off to the extension agent and get a result pretty soon. But anyway, one of the primary reasons for fescue grass not doing well is the soil pH is just simply too low. It requires a neutral soil pH or so and whatever. So mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
7.0, about there, 6.5 to 7.0 pH. And some of the soils around here, especially those in the parts of town that are shaded, generally because the soil is... parent material is sandstone and the oak leaves on top creates a very low pH. So you want to look at that and have it adjusted accordingly. You go around, you see these beautiful fescue lawns in the shade, just totally spotless. And right. How do they do it, and why can't I do that? Well, it could be the soil chemistry, number one. Number two, the trees above. If there's no dappled light getting through the tree canopy, there's not enough light for it to grow also. So you might consider having a tree man come in and do some thinning, not necessarily removal, but just some thinning of some tree branches to help more light coming through. With those situations are remedied, you know, the improper pH, not enough fertilizer, not enough sunshine, you should have some pretty nice fescue grass in the shadier parts of your lawn. So, you got fescue grass, time to fertilize.
Time to fertilize.
You bet.
They do need a lot of sunshine, I guess, so not much.
It needs moderate.
Moderate?
At least 50%, say, sunshine. Soja grass will tolerate 60% of sunshine. Little Bermuda grass is about, 99.87, whatever.
Yeah. They need a lot of sun.
It needs about 80-85% light for Bermuda grass. But the zoysia grass is less reliant on the shade, or the sun, rather. But the fescue grass is the least of the three that is, sunshine requiring. But still, it does need some.
Right.
So failure of Bermuda grass or fescue grass is due to lack of light and improper soil structure, improper soil pH. Mm-hmm. So, that's enough with lawns, really.
Yeah.
annuals. It's time to think about annuals. There's a lot of new ones out there. Oh, yeah. The new periwinkles coming out this year are really nice.
Really?
And we're going to be featuring some new petunias this coming year.
Mm.
And all kinds of beautiful annuals coming out, too. So, and the Calabroca, the Million Bells, they do really well here in the sun. Well-drained soil, too. Nothing in the clay. And so there are some good annuals coming up. So that'll come a little bit later. Right now, the soil in your annual bed is probably pretty good and loose. I know that from experience. My front beds, after freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing and so on, the soil is really kind of loose right now. It's very easy to work. And
still pretty moist, I guess. Or
moisture levels are pretty good. I wouldn't go running the truck in the yard or something right now because the moisture levels are real good right now, and the compaction is down right now because of the hard freezes we've had. We've had a few of them, and there hasn't been any snow on the ground.
No, but we've had rain. We've had a lot of rain.
A lot of rain
this winter. So, barring any other chance of snow, but yeah, we've had some heavy rains during the winter, and then when it freezes and thaws and all that.
I got a feeling where the ink runs out on that forecast, perhaps it's going to be a turn for the worse, but
I saw the end of it and I deleted it off.
Oh no, you.
Yeah, well, I know.
Anyway.
I know.
Anyway, think about your planning for your annuals right now. Think about and come by the nursery and talk with us if you want. We have geraniums are starting to grow there in the back greenhouse right now. We're getting ready to move them up front. About the middle of February is when they kind of run out of space there, and then greenhouse kind of takes it up, and people will get their early bird geraniums. They look good on the table outside for a while, and it gets cold, bring them in. Mm-hmm. An early reminder of spring is on its way. So anyway, we're getting geared up for that.
About another month or so before spring arrives. Is that correct?
Is it a month? The middle of March? Middle of April, actually. Well, first day of spring is the middle
of March. First day of spring is the middle of March.
But our last frost day typically is tax day.
Right. Which is April 15th.
April 15th.
Yes.
Around April the 10th, look at the weather forecast and you can kind of tell what's going to happen. Because it can get cold. We've had snow in April before.
I've seen snow in April before in Oklahoma, and yes, it can get cold.
I remember when I was a kid in Chicago, one Mother's Day, we had 2 inches of snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not surprised.
That was weird. We were going to church in the snow in May, for crying out loud. but anyway, so
Pern Hills, Chicago on Mother's Day. That's
pretty. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I went there in July one time for a meeting, and it was 55 degrees and windy. We were so cold.
Wow.
And then 2 days later, it was like 90. So,
you think Oklahoma has some weird weather?
That's
weird. Go to Chicago. Go around that area.
I remember the wall clouds coming in too. I mean, they came in fast, and you can see them a long way up there. But anyway, and they were vicious looking up. These big green cloud coming at you.
Yeah.
It's horrible sometimes, but...
Violent storms.
Well, it was.
Yeah,
it was. Fortunately, the utilities are all buried out there, so lightning was almost inconsequential.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, perennials. I cut back some of my perennials I have at this time of year. Some of the iris I had to move because I'm enlarging the patio. And the peonies, I moved them a little while ago, moved some of them up front. So it's time to move things around a little bit. Your mums, your coneflowers, your black-eyed Susans, they tend to spread and make big clumps. If you want more of them, you can divide your black-eyed Susans at this point, too. They're just now coming up. They're kind of at the flat leaf stage on the ground. They look like these little round, slightly pointed leaves real close to the ground there right now. They're just waiting.
It's getting warm someday. Yeah, it's going to get warm someday.
Waiting right now.
Yeah.
Spring bulbs, things like daffodils, tulips and all that, they should be up. Mm-hmm. The tulips barely up. I know I've got a hyacinth in the backyard, and I noticed it was coming up and then looked inside there and see the flower bulb just waiting for the right time. I imagine it'll pop up this week, and then that part of the forecast you cut off there will probably knock them out and all that. Hostas is a great time to move those hostas. They're getting ready to really start growing a little bit.
Right.
And they tend to recover a lot faster and a lot better if they're divided at this point in time. When you do replant your hostas, you want to get some compost and do a rather large preparation around them so the root system can exploit the area. Our soil that we have here, native soil, is just not compatible with hostas. So don't expect them to perform very well in our native soil or the imported soil we get. So you want to augment that soil somewhat.
Yeah, where's the best place they can grow?
They like part sun. They like shielding from the midday to mid-afternoon sun. Mm-hmm. From, say, 11 to... 3 o'clock, they need some shielding right there. So they'll do well on the east side of the house or the north side. Mm-hmm. And they like a soil that you can, right now, you can take a handful and pull it up.
Yeah.
So if you want to move a hosta to a location, put your hand in the soil, and if you can get some out of it, they'll probably do okay. But if you can't, well, you might put a rock there, perhaps.
We got a caller on the line, Larry, and let's go to that caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
I have a globe spruce,
yes,
a topiary, a small one. It looks like a popsicle stick, you know, with a topiary on top.
Right.
When is a good time to trim that if I want it to stay small?
They're going to be candling out pretty soon.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the term candling?
That means they get the little bumps on the ends?
Exactly. And when they're elongated, you can cut those back, and that's the time to do it.
When they come out or before?
As they are coming out, before the needles form on the candles.
Okay, trim it back just mm-hmm. to that length.
Yeah, just and leave a little bit of the candle intact. What that will do, it'll stop that candle growth and stimulate some lateral ones to come out next year.
Okay.
So where you cut off one, you could have anywhere from 3 to 4 new candles down below coming out. So
I want it to stay real small, not get big.
Oh, yeah. So the globe spruce will get 5 feet tall and about 6 feet around. Yeah, it'll get big.
Not where I want it.
So it's getting time to do that. You really just can't indiscriminately shear that one. The timing is very important.
Wait till it candles and then almost all of that gone.
Right, so in the next month or so, you might cancel your vacation plans.
Okay.
And be there when the candles come out.
I'll be watching it.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Got another caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I have a knockout rose, and I didn't get it trimmed back in the fall. Is now a good time?
Oh, now's a good time, yeah.
Okay, and I've heard, I'm a little confused about trimming down to a 5-point leaf. You know, can you explain that?
5-point?
I heard that you trim
them back on minor pruning. You cut back down to where there's 5 leaves.
Okay.
The rose will have typically anywhere from 3 to 5 to 7 leaves on it, and so right after the 5th leaf is typically where it's cut, or just right above that.
Okay, now what if I want to do a bit of a more of a prune back? I want to bring it back down about a foot or two.
Yes.
Can I do that kind of indiscriminately, just kind of round it off there?
You can, first of all, you want to get it down to the level that you want it to be.
Okay.
And then you go back and then get do a bit more surgical with it and cut it at a node.
Okay.
And you always want the outward buds on that node. You always want to preserve the topmost outward bud on that node to try to make it bush out a little bit more. And and for some more flowering interest, you might want to stagger the height a little bit too, so it's not straight across.
Oh, okay. So sunlight can get through to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's great.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye.
All right, Larry, we're going to take another break. And again, we'd love to hear from you this morning. If you have a gardening question for Mr. Larry Glass, you can give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener after this on K1.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Join us for food, fashion, and displays at the KW1, KYFM, KRIG, KPGM Spring Fashion and Bridal Expo, Saturday, February 20th, Center Court at Washington Park Mall.
Want a chocolate delight for your event? See Omega Chocolates. Ramona Flowers and Dewey gives a touch of spring and elegance for all occasions. Add a creative touch with caricatures by Dick Westbrook. Get beauty tips from Gail's Hairstyling and Spa and capture your extraordinary moments with Brown's Photography in Stillwater.
Neat tables and seating. Edinger's Office Supply Company is here to help you out.
Selling or buying a new home? Visit with Linda Coleman of Mecca Realtors. For your home, talk with Michael's Carpet and Sleep Center. Add elegance from United Linen and need that finishing antique touch? Visit the 25th Annual Dewey Antique Show.
Join us for the Step into Spring, Bartlesville Radio Spring Fashion Bridal Expo. It's a free event with great spring and bridal door prizes. For more details, go to bartlesvilleradio.com. It's all Saturday, February 20th, Center Court at Washington Park Mall from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Save on automotive supplies at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Right now, a quart of Pentons Oil motor oil is just $2.99 each. Choose from 10W30, SAE 30W, 10W40, or 5W30. Trust is multi-velocity formula to help prevent dirt, sludge, and other contaminants from compromising your engine's performance. So whether you're preparing your car for seasonal weather or regular maintenance, now's the time to stock up. Hurry in for these bargains of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value. (918) 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry. Welcome back to Green Country Gardener. And Larry, let's go to the phone lines. We have a caller waiting patiently, and we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was wanting to ask Larry, when is a good time to put pre-emergent on your yard, before or after you scalp it?
I would do that after scalping.
After scalping, okay.
Yeah. And pre-emergence, your primary target in pre-emergent at this point in time is crabgrass. And typically it doesn't come out until May or so, early May. So okay. you got a long time between the middle of, say, next month and in the first of May or so.
Yeah, I usually don't scale my yard till like the end of March or first of April.
You got that right. At that point, you've got, well, St. Patrick's Day is a good time. About a month from now is a good time to do both of them, really. Put down to scalp and also to put down the pre-emergent.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
You guys have a good day.
You're good. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
All right. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry Glass.
Okay. We talked about lawns, annuals, perennials. Now let's touch on shrubs a little bit.
Shrubs, yes.
It's time to do heavy pruning back on your shrubs. A customer of mine is having his house re-roofed, and we turned his boxwoods into antlers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's time of year to do that. I know they've been there a good 22 years or so.
Yeah.
So it was time for cutback number one and number two. The roofers have an easier job of cleaning up after themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
We got a caller?
Yeah, we got a caller on the line.
Okay, good show.
All righty. I want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
Yes, I have a question about peonies. I've got black leaves on them for last year. Is it too late to do anything about that now?
What you want to do right now is cut those black leaves off the plant and dispose of them. Don't put them in the compost heap. Anything. That's a leaf bacterial infection.
Okay.
And just good cleaning practices is a good way to keep it under control, actually.
Okay.
If you do have a problem with that every year and you follow all the steps about cutting off the leaves and throwing them away and all that, and you still have a problem, we have some horticultural streptomycin, which is a good bacterial control.
Okay. When do you put that on if I still have that problem? Is it just any time?
Typically, when the weather gets consistently warm, it's a good time for that to happen. So that's about the middle of May.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, every 3 week application of whatever the label says. I think it says about 3 weeks. Three weeks of this streptomycin. You should do a pretty good job of keeping that under control.
Okay. And one peony I have, it really has a good fragrance on it. And the other ones are not as fragrant. Is that a different kind of brand or
yeah, just genetically different, and it's
okay
as a more okay. And also black. The warmer it is out there, the more fragrance the fragrance will be evident the warmer it is too. So
I know this one plant is an older one, and I can cut them and take them in the house, and it fills almost the whole house with nice fragrance.
Well, nice fragrance, a lot of ants too sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of ants. Yeah, I like that too.
But anyway, I've got a pink one at home that's fragrant like that too. It's really nice.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, thanks much.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Okay. Back to shrubs.
Shrubs.
Trimming
back.
Yeah,
we're trimming back shrubs.
You want to be very careful of which shrubs you prune at this point in time. Typically, your boxwoods, your nandinas can be cut back, although I like to wait a little bit later for nandinas, because they still have an appearance now until they start growing. So, but yews also, your burning bush, your bread and butter foliage shrubs can be cut back, not right now, cherry laurels, everything like that. So, but you might want to refrain from cutting back your azaleas at this point, because they have yet to bloom, as well as the lilacs and forsythias and flowering quince and your spring blooming spireas. There's a difference with the summer blooming spireas. They can be cut back now, but the spring blooming ones, if you cut them back now, you won't get the spring blooms.
Hmm.
And abelias also, abelias are something that do very well with an occasional corrective pruning. And I did that with my abelia plant I have up front. And I said, okay, this is it. It's your year. You're going to get a haircut.
Oh, boy.
And sure enough,
got that haircut.
Well, it looks a little embarrassed right now, but it'll go out of it.
Hey, Larry, we got a caller on the line.
All right.
And we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
Could you tell me how warm does it usually get by the last half of May?
Warm, typically when the nighttime temperatures exceed 48 degrees, start to get into 50s, that's when it's considered warm at night.
That's when the soil starts warming up?
Oh, yeah, the soil starts really getting warm about the last quarter of April when it starts to warm up. But really, that can vary a lot depending on the weather and cloudiness and the rain and so on. So soil temperature, the beginning of the warmth of the soil temperature is variable in the spring.
So that's when you can really plant annuals?
Oh, yeah. Now, things like periwinkles and some of your million bells, they're a little bit sensitive to cold. So if you want to plant periwinkles, you know, the annual periwinkles, the soil has to be warm for them to do well. The same with caladiums also. The soil has to be warm for them to come up and grow.
Okay, caladiums too.
Uh-huh. Your periwinkles, if you plant them the 15th of April and it rains, a lot of times they just kind of rot. They just die off. So in years past, we've had them actually die in the greenhouse just from lack of sunshine and warmth.
Is it usually through the raining season in the end of May?
Sometimes the end of May typically is, we're in the heat of the rain season then. So.
Okay.
So it's there's more than likely to be adequate moisture at that point in time.
Okay.
Not till the end of June or so does it really start to get a little bit of stressful on some plants.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Larry, we're going to take another break. And again, we do have time to take some callers as well. If you have a gardening question for Larry, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener after this.
This weather makes one want to get out and plant for the spring. Green Thumb is ready with 5, 7, and 10-gallon trees in stock, including Japanese maples on sale. And at 30% off, pick up flowering bushes like crepe myrtles, azaleas, butterfly bushes, and roses. For cool season gardening, Green Thumb has plenty of seeds for sowing, and now's the time. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, No Water Road, open Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, or by appointment, call 918-333-4091 or online at greenthumbok.com.
The new and upgraded PowerStar tractors from New Holland and Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville offers you the very best in ergonomics, visibility, and efficiency. The Vision View cab provides industry-leading visibility and convenience with two wide-opening doors, a flat deck platform, a 10-vent climate system, the Commandeer console, the left-hand power shuttle lever, and more. In short, PowerStar comfort is extra large, but the operating costs are extra small. The precise fueling of the Common Rail fuel injection system in their Tier 4B engines make them ultra-efficient, and the industry-leading 600-hour service interval decreases your cost as well. Jensen Tractor Ranch now offers PowerStar tractors in two horsepower levels, the traditional 75-horsepower model and the new, smaller 64-horsepower model. Both models are built New Holland Smart. Stop by Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville soon to learn more about PowerStar tractors.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
Talking with customers at Gusher Car Wash, a lot of places to wash your car around the area. Any particular reason you chose a Gusher?
I find it very convenient. You just pull in, wash your bumper off, ride through, and vacuum your car.
Obviously, the shine that I see on your vehicle, you must have chosen the Super Duper Wash.
Yeah, they have three different levels.
So you're pretty happy with that one?
Oh, I'm very happy. I wouldn't go anywhere but the Gusher.
We're talking with a friend about washing the car. Would a Gusher come up in the conversation?
I've recommended it to many of my friends.
You chose the Gusher car wash today. Any particular reason you drove in here?
We like the complete service that they have here. I really like the fact that they put out buckets of water out there with a brush that you can clean off some more severe spots that you need to have cleaned prior to going through the car wash itself. And yes, they're all very friendly and guide you through.
Gusher Car Wash, one block south of Price Road on Highway 75 across from Aldi's. Come for the great wash, stay for the free vacuum.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 Series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville. Larry, we've just got a few seconds left.
A few seconds left. Come by the nursery, check out our vegetable seeds we have. Got the tomatoes and the peas and the turnips and all the other things like that you might want to grow in your garden. Soil amendments, check those out too. Gypsum. Mm-hmm. If you've got heavy clay soil, use some gypsum on there. And golly, we got all kinds of new stuff you can put in your soil to increase the yellow plant syndrome.
Yes.
And wind chimes.
Oh, wind chimes.
Windy. You remember last week it was so windy?
Oh, yes.
You'd have been the hit of the neighborhood then.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I would.
See you later, Charlie. Adam, keep your shovel sharp.
I will, Larry. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nunn. Debate number 9 for the Republican.